This episode is brought to you by Decoy, an acclaimed winery in the Duckhorn portfolio. As you gather around the table with friends and family this holiday season, share the luxury of wine country by enjoying Decoy wines, established more than 30 years ago by legendary vintners Dan and Margaret Duckhorn. Our roots run deep. From vine to bottle, we craft our wines to the highest standards, using grapes from exceptional vineyards, including from our own estate properties. From our flagship Cabernet Sauvignon and classic Pinot Noir to our iconic Merlot and Chardonnay, Decoy brings 30 years of dedication to every glass. Ask for us wherever you buy wine or visit decoywines.com/celebrate to find Decoy near you. Whether you're pairing our wines with your favorite holiday recipe or looking for the perfect way to celebrate the season, let Decoy Wines elevate your occasion.
Michael, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Huge?
Good. I'll get to your thoughts on the Lions and the Eagles in a moment, but you've been in Detroit and around the Lions for the sudden, unexpected retirements for Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson. And how are they the same? How are they similar off the article Michael Rosenberg did at the Sports Illustrated website today?
Well, I haven't read Rosenberg's yet. I will eventually. They're different, though. Excuse me. Calvin's was expected. It really was. After, you know, he left the field in the last game against Chicago. Was it the 2015 season? I think, yeah, the 2015 season. You know, and you could see he was laughing with Matthew Stafford. He was asked in the locker room if that was it. With Barry in the last game of 1998, we knew that he was unhappy, but really didn't know to the extent of it until a story came out, and I'm not patting myself on the back, but I am the one who wrote it. Around May or so, there'd been a hint of some problems there. He'd skipped a mini camp, I think it was, so I called his father, William, and asked him what was up with his son, Barry, and his exact quote was, "William Sanders, he's sick of them, he's sick of losing." To me, that was the signal that there was deep problems. And as I told one of the broadcast partners I had at the time, Fred Heumann, when we did Sports Wrap here on WJR in Detroit, I predicted, I'm not gloating or anything like that, but at the very least, he's not going to show up to training camp on time. And I thought pretty much he might be done. That proved to be the case. So we had, we knew about Calvin that he was probably going to retire, and that happened in March. With Barry, was on the night before, supposed to report to training camp when he made his announcement that he was made it official that he was retiring from football, and then all heck broke loose with that one.
Yeah, the story today, what's interesting is, again, he talks about a dollar figure. There's been $800,000, yep. And he says, yep, they owe him $1.6 million, that he talked to Patricia. He said he'd help with wide receivers, but not on a Lions practice field, they told him to lie about a concussion and go correct himself in front of the media, I think, back in 2012, if I remember, from the article I read before the show. And then he just said what Barry kind of said at the end of that football life, where if the Lions would have been better, he probably would have played longer.
Well, a couple of things. And look, Calvin was a terrific player. He really was a great athlete, the nickname Megatron. But let's not get one thing clear. He was not Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders is an all-time, every era great. And as good as Calvin was, he's not Barry Sanders, not in any way. And the other part of it is, Barry had success that Calvin never enjoyed. Barry was on five playoff teams in 7 years. That Calvin didn't have that kind of success with the Lions at all. You know, he was on, I think, two playoff teams. They won one. No, they never won a division title. Barry was on a couple of division champions, things like that. And although he never got to the Super Bowl, he got to an NFC championship game. One of his all-time great runs was in that playoff win over the Dallas Cowboys. And yeah, he won four rushing championships and all that. So they were different players, different personalities, different guys. You know, and Barry's been back with when Barry paid back his signing bonus that was due, he sent him a check all at once, paid it all off at once when he lost it, took it to arbitration and lost it, and said, okay, and then sent him the money. Sent him all at once when he could have paid it in installments. So different guys, different circumstances, and certainly, to me, Barry enjoyed more winning than Calvin did.
Michael Hara, DetroitLions.com, joining us. So I think we can't look at everything the Lions have done on the negative side, on and off the field. But what I'm trying to figure out, and you're there with DetroitLions.com, yep. You're in Allen Park. Where is this franchise different today, Michael, than they were at the end with Calvin and with Barry?
Well, it was, you know, this is an all-new regime that was not the case with during Barry's tenure. The president, I would call him, he was the chief operating officer at the time, Chuck Schmidt, came up under Russ Thomas. And these were people who were with the organization and advanced to, you know, to management roles. And it was sort of, it was more of a family atmosphere, I think. This is no knock against Bob Quinn. It's just different. They came in from the outside. Bob Quinn did in 2014, brought in a whole new front office eventually. It's a completely different group of people almost. And then hired a coach from the outside in Matt Patricia from New England. So it's different in that regard. How they treat people and all that, I really don't know. I don't think people are mistreated under the Bob Quinn administration and Rod Wood as president. But it is different. It's been a complete change in personality, complete change in the way they do business. In terms of Calvin and his money, that's up to him. If you want to go after it, if it makes you feel good, I don't get mixed up in what people make and don't make and all that. That's up to them. Sometimes it's different. We're talking about $1.6 million. It's somebody's money. The Lions want it. Calvin wants it. Go for it.
$1.6 million is O'Hara tip money on a weekend at a Lions-Giants game.
No, more like a Friday night. Not the whole weekend. Hey, one thing, by the way, Calvin and the concussion, I do remember it was a game against the Minnesota Vikings where he took a hit from a linebacker. I can't remember his name. Well-known player who got a penalty, I think, on it and apologized to Calvin after the game for doing it, said he didn't mean it, just one of those plays that happen in football. And Calvin wasn't quite the same in that game, as I recall. Look, he dropped a ball and didn't quite get to a ball. And there was some talk about a concussion after the game. But I remember during the week, like maybe Wednesday or Thursday, he did his podium session, and it was very uncomfortable in him saying, no, I didn't have a concussion. It just seemed that somebody he'd been talked to and – you know, was he in or out of the concussion protocol at the time? I don't remember him being in it. I don't remember him not being in it. But I do remember that was a very uncomfortable press conference. For what reason, I'm not sure. I really don't know.
Michael Hara, DetroitLions.com, columnist, Lions, NFL insider, joining us here on the Huge Show across Michigan. Let's move on, talk about the Lions looking to go 2-0-1, Philadelphia. Yep. Canceled a practice this week. They're banged up. Hard to believe the Lions are a 6-point underdog. Your thoughts on this matchup Sunday in Philly?
So a couple of things on the canceled practice. They went to a walkthrough, which you know, teams only have 14 scheduled practices during the season in pads. And the head coach, Doug Peterson, he explained that in more detail with the beat writers. I happened to go on their website to get his quotes and all that. And what he said was, it was about 70%. It's not like they were walking through. It was like a jog through. And it's something they do when there's a time crunch, you know, with games piling up. They do that from time to time during the season. Look, I like the Lions in this game. I don't love them, but I like them to win this game. You go back to week three of last year, 2018. That's when they started to play their best ball. And a lot of times, a lot of teams do that because they get, you know, two games of full contact under their belt, as opposed to the preseason, which was really, to me, the preseason games now are like dance lessons, what they've become. And no knock on dancers. I know they work hard and all that, but that's teams start to define who they are in week three, week four, week five. Well, they've been playing real football for a couple of weeks. And I think you saw that with the Lions last year. They went 3-1 in their next four games, couldn't sustain it, and ended up losing, you know, going 3-7 in their last 10. But through six games, they got to 500. Because of what they did after week two. And I think that you'll see a little bit of that with the Lions on Sunday in Philadelphia. I think that team is starting to come around. I think you saw it defensively last week where they were able to come up with key stops. They've been good in the red zone. They've been good, you know, in the the goal-to-go situations. And I think you've seen some good things with the Lions' offense, even though it hasn't necessarily led to points. They didn't only scored 13 points last week, two touchdowns and a missed extra point. But I think there are an awful lot of good things in the offense. I think they're going to start to get the running game going. And I like the Lions to win 27-23 and huge. I would bet every dime you have that they win.
Wow. Mike,
now,
why?
Maybe not the dollars, but the dimes.
Right, right. Why do you like them to win on Sunday? And what have you seen in the first two that tells you the Lions can go on the road and win at Philly?
I just think the way they're built, you know, I think they're a better football team than they were a year ago. Now, look, I'm picking them to win by 4 points, not to run them right out of Philadelphia. But I just think, you know, I think Matthew Stafford's got a good grasp of that offense. He took a couple of deep shots against the Chargers last week. And you know what? That's the way he plays football. Go for it. And that doesn't bother me. It really doesn't. I think one of them, the one to Galladay, is a throw I wouldn't have made. The one to Marvin Jones Jr. that was picked off is one I would. Let your receiver go up and get it. But the safety got over there, read it better than anybody else and got the pick. But I just think it's a pretty good football team. I think they got some balance on offense and defense. I like what Daryl Bevel has done as a play caller in two games. Look, the screen game is better than it was. You know, they get guys open. They throw the ball downfield. And as good as Doug Peterson, the head coach, is as a play caller for the Eagles, when you run out of players, you run out of players, and they're not the same team without DeSean Jackson. And you know, we'll see what Alshon Jeffrey does. And, you know, they might be without their backup tight end. They signed one off their practice squad. Sometimes, you know, it's just time to be a football team, and I think this is the Detroit Lions' time.
You can follow the Lions 24/7 at DetroitLions.com. Thing I love about Mike, even though he is in Allen Park, works for the Lions, he's a straight shooter when it comes to Lions stories. Michael, safe trip to Philly, and we'll talk soon.
All right, huge. Thanks for having me again. Appreciate it.